Blog Talk Radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again. We have the Pastors for Punch TV with your host, Joy Brown. We have guest speakers today, Pastor Coco, and we also have Pastor Danny Wooten. And, of course, your wonderful host, Joy Brown. Joy, are you there?
I'm here. Good afternoon, all the listeners, and especially to our engineer, Floyd Brown. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Are you ready for a great dynamic show?
I'm ready for a great dynamic show.
Yes. And so on today's the Pastors for Punch TV show, we have two highly dynamic people that are local in the California area. And I don't know if you ever heard of these two people as Pastor Danny Wooten and also Pastor Coco Short. And I understand that, Pastor Danny, you're on the line with us now.
So today, to you and Floyd, thank you for having me today.
You're quite welcome. Well, what we're going to do first, we always like to start off and let the people know a little bit about you. So we're going to let Floyd go ahead and set the platform for you, and then we're going to give you the opportunity where I will be questioning you, asking you different things, but I know a little bit about you. So it will be all related to life before and life now and where you're going. So, Floyd, will you go ahead and start this off for us, please? Did we lose it? Well, I'll start it off then. Pastor Danny R. Wooten is the pastor of New Covenant Christian Fellowship in Pomona, California. Perseverance,
yes.
Passion, and power uniquely describes the ministry of Danny R. Wooten, pastor. He is a native of Buckleberry, North Carolina, and a resident of Southern California for over 20 years. Pastor Wooten is a purpose-driven soul winner and is highly known for his evangelistic zeal, dynamic teaching, anointed preaching, and healing and deliverance ministry. His evangelistic insight has assisted many pastors from various denominational backgrounds with the implementation of evangelistic outreach, which result in substantial church growth. He is often called upon to share his divine gifts, assignments, and revivals, conferences, conventions, and crusades across the country. And with over 25 years of ministry experience, Pastor Wooten has served in various leadership positions such as administrative assistant, district superintendent, Episcopal adjutant, and chairman of auxiliaries and ministry under the leadership of the Southern California Evangelistic Jurisdiction Church of God in Christ. Awesome. Awesome. So many characteristics and so many positions that you held, but I realize such an humble man. And I know the Lord said if you humble yourself, that he will exhort you. So this opened up that scripture to me, because you have placed yourself in so many capacities of workmanship, not only in the body of Christ, but you have been on the streets, because that's what evangelist outreach mean, that you have been in the vineyard. And
that's where God reaches
out into the vineyard. When the seeds are sown, you have been out there to cultivate and to bring those souls in. So, listen,
it's
an honor for you to be on our talk show. And I know you have some other things that you have done. Gospel stage plays is all part of your portfolio. So what I'm going to do is to tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you come from, and how did you start?
Well, as you said, I'm a native of Bucklesbury, North Carolina. I'm what you call a country boy, and I never forget my roots. And started out in a Baptist church, and as a child, and grew up. And I was always told by my grandmother and my grandfather that I was going to be a preacher one day, but you know, wasn't really listening. And grew up, graduated, went to college, and ended up in the military. Spent quite a few years in the Army, and ended up moving to Southern California in 1992, and I joined a church in Pasadena, California, Deliverance Tabernacle Church of God in Christ.
Oh, is that Pastor DeCara?
No, that is Pastor, the late Pastor Corturantine. That was
okay.
My spiritual father and mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
He passed away in 2010. I served him for about 21 years.
Wow.
And just a quick story. It was 2007, during the centennial celebration of the Church of God in Christ. That's when God gave me the vision for New Covenant. And I was so excited about it. I came back and I told my pastor about it. And I said, what I would like to do, I said, I'm not leaving the church because God has not told me, but I would like to start a Bible study in the community out in the area. So he blessed it. And I started a Bible study, and after about 2 months, the Bible study grew to about 40, 50 people. And I was in prayer one day, and the Lord told me to shut down the Bible study.
Wow.
And, yeah, shut it down. And I didn't question God. I shut it down. I went back, told my pastor. I said, well, I said, I got bad news. I said, God told me to shut down the Bible study. And he laughed, you know, and I'm thinking, well, I don't see anything funny. And I said, well, why did you send me out there if you knew that I was going to fail? He said, son, you didn't fail. He said, I need to know that you could hear the voice of the Lord.
Wow, okay.
So from that point, me and my pastor became very close, even closer.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the Cogent Convocation in November of 2010. And unexpectedly, my pastor had a heart attack. And I was at his bedside. Yeah,
wow.
At his bedside when he closed his eyes. And basically from there, I was there when the Lord took him home. I, you know, brought him back on the plane with me, you know. And so from that's right. After six months
of staying.
So this
is like a Moses and a Joshua situation.
Elijah and Elisha. Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Okay.
So about 6 months after, you know, after his death, I stayed and helped the son who became the pastor. And then God released me to manifest the vision of New Covenant. And we started in October of 2011. And God has been blessing us just tremendously since we started New Covenant. We have been in the city of Pomona the entire time. And just so many testimonies. I know that we're short for time, but so many testimonies of healing and deliverance and just salvation. I am one of those that is an evangelist at heart. I was an evangelist for 15 years. I served as the evangelist president under our jurisdiction. So I love being in the streets. I'm the type of pastor that when I'm out in the streets, I tell the drug addict, I tell the alcoholic, you got to bring your drugs to the church, bring them. If you got to bring your liquor, bring it. If you got whatever
you tell them?
I tell them, bring it. I bring it, bring it, bring it to the sanctuary.
Wow.
You know, the interesting thing, Joy.
So is that what it means by come as you are?
Come as you are. Come as you are. It's not about your dress. It's about your status of life. It's about what you're dealing with. And you know, so many people say, I want to come to church, but I got to get myself together. They don't have the power to get themselves together.
Okay.
So bring it to the house of God. The one place that God designed for sin was church.
Is right. Okay. All right.
So people have to
something.
Bring it. Yes.
Which you've been so adamant about your role as, I know you're a pastor, but I'm seeing that evangelistic is the forefront of where you are. And sometimes pastors don't handle the two functions as balanced because they do like being out. They do like going out. And some pastors kind of the level to level off the pastor, because you know you got to be at church consistently. Pastor means being visible basically
right.
all the time, and not leaving the flock. But if you're
mm-hmm.
out there doing it, that means you must have an evangelistic type of church. Because if you're doing it, then I'm quite sure the leadership that you have, they follow what you do. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. I do not do full-time evangelist ministry. I focus full-time on pastoral work, but the church
right.
is an evangelistic-driven church. So we
okay.
have evangelistic outreach twice a month. We go out once a month at midnight here in the city of Pomona, and we give out care packages
wow.
to the prostitutes. And, you know, I have adopted them as my daughters, and I go out
mm-hmm.
and I even tell the pimps, I said, look, you know, you let my daughter come to church when she want to come to church, you know, because she needs prayer. So I have a great relationship with,
okay.
you know, with the pimps and the prostitutes that's out on
uh-huh.
the street. When we go out, they'll send the word up ahead. Reverend is out tonight. So, you know, so
is
everybody.
That what they say?
Oh yeah. Pastor is out tonight. So, so we're out in the streets here. In Pomona, we are taking it to the streets, and I am a pastor that, you know, believes that, you know, after you can't clean a fish until you catch it.
That's true,
but we
try to clean them first, right?
Right. So I believe that you got to catch the fish and then bring the fish into the house. And then you clean the fish. And that's, you know, and when they come, we can be in the middle of preaching a sermon on Sunday, and
mm-hmm.
a drug addict or an alcoholic or a prostitute will walk inside
yes.
the sanctuary. And I'll stop in the middle of my sermon and pray for them.
Oh, no, you do not. That's not orthodox.
Yes. I stop right in the middle of my sermon, and I pray for them, and I minister
uh-huh.
to them, because I still believe that we should take the time to minister. I believe that the assignment is not done when you preach until after you have prayed for the people.
Okay.
So that's
because
that's
the word is going forth. So the word is going to find you wherever you are. I don't care
right.
who you are. So
right.
you don't have to worry about the word manifesting itself, because the Bible says it's what? It's quick. And
quick and powerful,
sharper
sharp.
Than any
yes.
two edges sharp. So it's traveling wherever it's go, and wherever it's go, it's cutting. But let me ask you something, because isn't Pomona close to San Bernardino?
Not really. Pomona is about 20, 25 minutes from San Bernardino, so it's a good distance. It's a good distance.
Well, I just want to ask one question. Because
yes.
I know in San Bernardino, that's where they have the human trafficking is heavy. Are
okay.
you inundated with that problem there in Pomona?
Well, I don't think that it is it's as, you know, problematic in Pomona as it is in San Bernardino.
Okay.
There is some in Pomona. I
mm-hmm.
do, you know, spend some time talking to the law enforcement, and they have
okay.
informed me that there was some human trafficking, but not like
uh-huh.
it is further out in the San Bernardino and Riverside area.
Right. Okay. All right. So with that being said, that's a part of that. You said prostituting, but I know that's a whole different level.
No, yes, it is.
Yeah, that's a whole different demonic system that's running out there in that area. And I like what you said. You have a relationship with the police department out there, so they know who you are and they know what you do.
When we're out at midnight, there are
mm-hmm.
certain police officers, if they're on duty that night, they actually cover us and our evangelistic team as we're walking the streets.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So that's good. So I'm looking at your bio also, and it says in 2008 you was blessed to write and direct and produce your first original gospel stage play entitled Midnight Cry. What is that about?
Yes. Yes, indeed. Midnight Cry. Midnight Cry is a play that is about the end time. I did not write the play. God did not give me the play for the unsaved. Believe it or not, God gave me the play for saved folk. He gave me
okay.
the play for church people. And the play basically is a mirror effect of what you see going on in church every Sunday. We focus on pride, unforgiveness. We focus on bitterness, prostitution, alcohol, everything that not just, you know, the unsaved, the unbelievers dealing with. They're still born again Christians that are still dealing with different things. And Midnight Cry has been so impactful. We've been doing the play since 2008. We've done it several times, maybe 5 to 10 times at the Wilshire Ebell Theater in Los Angeles. We've been to San Diego. We've been to Las Vegas with it. We've been all the way to Harlem, New York, to the Apollo Theater.
Wow, that's awesome.
We sold out 2 shows in one day in Harlem. And what I do is at the end of the play, I do a full altar call at the end of the play, and thousands of people have been saved, especially young people. People have been delivered, healed right there in the theater. And that is one of the greatest impacts of the play. We don't have any stars in the play. I believe that the only person that should be celebrated in the play is Jesus. So I tell the cast that we are supporting actors and actresses, and the only star is Jesus. I believe that the gospel industry has lost its way because we're too concerned about promoting personalities rather than promoting the promise of Jesus Christ.
That's true.
So I want us to promote Jesus. I want us to promote the gospel, and God has been blessing us. So it is a great play. If you have not seen it, we're getting ready to go on stage again in the next couple of months. And we would definitely get the word out to Punch TV, and maybe we can push it out a little bit. But it is a play. I tell people it's like the old Ten Commandments. It will never grow old.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, now is there also your first book that's called Battling with the Inner Me? Now that is going to be, that's got to be something that's like your core center place where the enemy attacks, because he knows if he can get your mind, he got you.
That's right. Battling with the Inner Me is a twofold blessing. I use my personal life. What you read in that book are testimonies of my personal life, not just from being unsaved, but since I've been saved, since I've been a preacher, since I've been a pastor, to help people to understand and guide them in this war that's going on. There's a war in our member that the Apostle Paul says, and the greatest battle that we have in our spiritual walk is the battle that we have within. So battling with the inner me just highlights various situations in my life, things that I've gone through, you know, that I had to battle with, I had to overcome and get the victory over in my walk with the Lord. So we're looking to have it published soon and to be out and released by early February. So again, more information to come on that, but it will definitely bless your life, because I believe that people are looking for transparency, especially in pastors and leaders today.
Right.
If you can't get up and talk about where you've been, where you are, then it's hard to get people to embrace what you're preaching and what you're teaching. People need to know, number one, that pastors are not gods. We are people.
We are
humans like everyone else, and we deal with issues like the next person. Our job is to overcome what we're going through so that we can lead somebody through the valley to overcome. So battling with the enemy, again, will be a blessing to the body of Christ and even the unbeliever.
Now, listen, making the transition into what you just said, because now when we grew up in church, I know we used to have testimony service or whatever, but we never heard stories that would help you to be consistent in your life as holiness. We were taught holiness, but to give a definite testimony about this happened to me, I had, those are things that I think the people that were now in their 50s and 60s did not hear, because there was not exposure like that. So
With that being said,
that's like a, it's like almost like it's the real essence of what the Holy Spirit did. Of course, we got saved, we got filled with the Holy Ghost, we were in church, but we didn't know how to handle some of the situations that we were facing going through to in our, you know, being sanctified. We got the scriptures, but we didn't know how to fight that battle of the natural
right.
man.
Right.
But now,
right, right.
like you said, being transparent, it makes a big difference, because now some pastors are being more open, saying what
yes.
they've gone through. You know, I go through this also. So it, because we did, the pulpit was sacred to me, meaning I didn't even want to walk in the pulpit.
Right.
I don't know if that's where you grew up. I didn't want to walk, because I felt that was the place where the center of the core and church where God was, until I grew older and began to develop a relationship. So with this book that you have, you're opening up, so it helps you to lead a generation now, because our generation really needs some leadership.
Exactly. You know, and people, we're living in a time where people don't want to be beat over the head with the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Holiness is still right, but people
right.
need to be able to hear and see that that same man that can get up behind that pulpit in a robe, mm-hmm. in a suit, has dealt with some of the same issues that they're dealing
right.
with right now.
Right.
And they need to know, how did you overcome it, Pastor? How
right.
did you okay. overcome it, Assistant Pastor? How did you overcome that issue? And we have to be able to let people know, give them a blueprint to deliverance, to say, you know what,
right.
what you're going through is nothing new. I went
mm-hmm.
through some of the same things. I went through something even worse than what you went through. It didn't happen overnight for me either. But guess what? This is what I did to overcome.
Right.
I stayed on my knees. I stayed in the Word, you know. I
changed
mm-hmm. my environment. I changed this. I changed that. And until God strengthened me in that process. So people want realness, if I can put it like that. They want
right,
leaders
exactly.
that can be raw, transparent, and real, and lead them into the path of holiness, so that when they overcome, they understand now that battle will they've overcome it, but guess what? They still gonna have to maintain what they've overcome.
Right. Now hold that for a minute. I'm coming. Come back to you, and our Floyd is gonna just give us commercial, and I'll come right back to you, because I want to ask you some more questions that's gonna really help open up understanding to where we are right now with the body of Christ, and what do you see that God has taken us. We're going to hear a commercial.
I'm Joseph Collins, CEO of Punch TV Studios. Growing up in South Central Los Angeles, my mother was on welfare. She fought day and night to get off welfare and give her children a better life. She would always say to me, "Son, this is the best that I can do, but you can do better." And I promised that I would do better, and that I would be the catalyst for change in our community. Just like I promise you that together we can build a multi-billion dollar media company that brings wealth back to our community, that resurrects blighted areas, and puts people back to work. Be part of the promise. Be part of change. Invest in Punch TV Studios for only $1 per share. Call now, 310-419-5914. That's 310-419-5914. Or visit our website at punchtvstudios.com.
Awesome. Now, that is our CEO, and one of the reasons why I am so fanatical about the churches coming in to be partners with Punch TV Studio, because what I'm seeing right now, and I believe this with all my heart, that God is putting us in a position for the body of Christ to be economically sound, because I know that a lot of the government programs that are into existence right now, in 3 years, they will not be available.
Right.
That means that they're going to be people, and unfortunately, you think that people don't know who the church is. They do know.
Yes.
But what they're looking for when they come to the church is what they're not really receiving. Now, I can't say it's not a church in my church, because your church has to be in a financial stable place in order for them to help people, even if they need a place to stay. We should be able to have housing that's available that we can bring people in to help them to get reestablished. Or either we should have some type of foundation that if they are on drugs, we should be the one that they're coming to. And I'm thinking, I said, Lord, I said, why is this time of punch so necessary, especially with the urban community? We're a black-owned business, the only black company that has the only black network. We just acquired our own station on Channel 64. It reaches all the way out to Pomona, Southern California, where it's our station, Punch TV Studio. And we're asking
wow.
churches to partner with us, because our projection is in 3 years after we trade, the company is $500 million to $3 billion company, you would be able to go pull out some of your investment, and whatever project you have, you'll be able to pay cash for that, be debt-free. And that's depending on how much you're investing.
Right,
and I believe
right.
that God is really giving us a strategy to set us up for what we don't know is coming, but we need to be ready for it. So
yes.
with that being said, your church in Pomona, what strategies do you have for the future to be available for those that you're bringing in?
Well, part of our vision and mission of NewCo is that we do have a separate 501c3 community development corporation. We are partnering with a brand new community center that will be opening in the early 2018. Currently, what we do is we try to partner with a lot of the agencies in the local area, prototypes, some of the group homes, when people come
yeah.
and they need a place to stay, those types of things. So we try to partner with them. One of the things that I would love to see and would love for God to just manifest just the resources to do, there is a abandoned old Y, I think it's a YWCA, a YMCA here in the city of Pomona. I would love to get the resources to just
yeah.
renovate that facility and turning it into a transition home, to where
right.
we can begin to house, you know, the homeless and take them through a program that will help them get back on their feet
yes.
and take them through job placement and
right.
be able to reestablish their lives
okay.
so that they can live a fruitful life. And
exactly. so
those are some of the things that we're looking at. We have a 5-point urban initiative program that we focus on, health and wellness. We're looking at at-risk youth. We're looking at financial literacy, teaching people. You know, why have $1 million if you don't know how to invest it, budget,
right.
or spend it? So
exactly.
so these are the things that we would like to do to make an impact from the natural side of people, so that they will understand that their principles that needs to be applied to their lives. From a church perspective, you know, Jesus told the disciples that, you know, look in the fish mouth, you know, and you'll find what you need in the fish mouth. So if we can get our community, if we can get the people to a place to where they're living by the principles of God, it's also going to bring in a
yes.
revenue into our churches to be able to do more
exactly.
Into
exactly.
the cities. I love
right.
the vision of Punch TV and even affording the churches the opportunity to buy into the shares. If we
yes,
could get
awesome.
Our African American churches
yes.
to come together, I believe that we could push Punch TV to a place to where it will even exceed the word network. I mean, you know,
yes.
I'm one of those that loves the big picture, because You know, we don't challenge God enough in the areas that He wants
right.
to be challenged.
Yeah.
We challenge Him more about paying our car payment and our rent and all of that. God wants.
Yeah,
to
we're
be
looking at our problem as being so big that He
yes.
can't handle it. You know.
Yes. So God loves hearing visions like Punch TV to where, you know, selling shares or you know, He wants to see, you know, us to do things that is going to glorify
right.
the kingdom, that's going to pull Him into the process to manifest it, to show people
mm-hmm.
that He is still in control. So I'm just excited about the vision for Punch TV and anything that NUCO can do to be a part of that future vision. We're going to
mm-hmm.
partner with you to make it happen.
Excellent. I love it. And that's what I'm here for. That's why I'm reaching out to pastors. I am so passionate about seeing our pastors and our churches and those that are in the church prosper. And I know this is our time, but God wants us to have a plan. If you get a plan together, then He will make provisions for that plan to come to pass when it's in His will. And I know this is the will of God. I know it because I've been here since the beginning when we started it, and I see what God is doing just with the staff that we have. I've seen the CEO just burning candles day and night. So I know there's more into this than what I see, and I know He's going to make this happen. And I'm so happy that we brought you on our show today. And before we let you go, I want you to give us your address, where you are, your phone number, and the name of your church again, and what your main service on your Sunday morning, so we can know that people can come and visit you, Pastor Danny Wooten.
Great. Again, I am the pastor of New Covenant Christian Fellowship. We're located at 440 East Holt Avenue, and that is in the city of Pomona. Our covenant worship experience service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We do have Sunday school at 9 o'clock a.m. for those who still enjoy Christian education before service. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock is our war room experience. We have prayer. And immediately after that at 7:30, we have the Bible experience, which is our Bible study. And our phone number here at the church is 909-461-3483. And if you can't be here with us on Sunday, you can watch us live every Sunday at NUCOCFC.org. All you have to do is go to our website and click on NUCO TV, and you can watch us live every Sunday. And we look forward to either seeing you with us in our service, or we look forward
yes.
to knowing that you have watched us live on our website, and we look forward to seeing you. So God bless you, and may the Lord bless you all.
And thank you again for being with us. Now, I'm going to get back with you after the show because I have some fantastic things that I want to offer you, and even bringing our CEO into the Pomona area. Maybe we can get some pastors out there that can come to your church and just sit and hear what we're talking about.
Great, great, great. I look forward to hearing the information.
Awesome. Okay, this is your host, Joy Brown, with Punch, the pastor for Punch TV, coming your way. And that was Pastor Danny Wooten in Pomona. So our next pastor that we have with us today is an awesome woman of God. Oh, you got to hear some stories. This girl is something else. She is Pastor Coco Short. And I know the name says Short, but I guarantee you she comes short of nothing. That's just a name. You know, they say, what's in the name? That's just a name. So I know you're here because I feel your spirit. And I just want just a moment before we introduce you. We're going to have Floyd just to do just a small commercial. And then that time left, we're just going to let you loose. Is that okay?
Amen. Amen. It's all right.
Are you an actor looking for your next role? Are you looking to audition to be cast in the next Hollywood project? One amazing way to do this is to work with Punch TV Studios, making movies and making magic. Join the Actors Group at Nabucchi.com to find out about upcoming film projects and opportunities. It's a great place to network. Do you, Nabucchi?
Okay, hi there. This is Joy in the House. Many people call me Joy in the House because I do have a lot of joy. But listen, this is Pastor Coco Short is here in the house with us on the Pastors for Punch TV studio. And I'm going to just read just a little small portion of your bio because you have a lot going on. And it says, Coco Short. It says, first of all, singer, songwriter, inspirational artist of the time. Coco Short has emerged as one of the industry's most dynamic gospel temporary performing artists, delighting audience with her power, vocals, and instruments. Inspirational dance choreography throughout the U.S. to Paris, France, Okinawa, and Japan. Osaka. By popular demand, Coco is set to release her anticipated urban contemporary gospel single, Blessings, from the official upcoming CD release entitled Had Enough. Blessings is set to be released internationally on iTunes, Amazon, and other major outlets through the independent music label Circle of Life and Love Music, a division of Circle of Life and Love Ministry. And then we say Coco is both a gospel singer and a woman of God with a vision to uplift the needy and support them with prayer and the Word of God through her unique music ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to introduce to you somebody that came out of Compton High to you on today, Ms. Pastor Coco Short. How are you today?
Hey, how are you?
I'm
blessed
just
and highly favored.
Yes, you are. So we are so happy to have you on our talk show today, and I bet you feel very relaxed that you didn't have to drive in.
Well, let's give him a praise right now. Let's give him the highest praise.
Isn't God good? He just makes things possible.
Hey, won't he do it? Won't he do it?
Yes, he does. But listen, we have a moment that's on our time that we have reserved just for you. And I want you to tell us about you and what God has done and is doing in your life. Just talk to us.
Well, let's give God some praise. I just thank him for this prime time right now. And I know he predestined that I would be, you know, on this radio station at this time. And I just thank him for my obedience and me hearken to the voice of him. And I was performing in Las Vegas at the Luxor, and my mom came backstage, and she told me that she didn't see me doing that anymore. And that was about 18 years ago. And I said, Mom, you got to get from back here now. You're messing with my money. And I was very successful in Las Vegas. God blessed me to be on the main stage, and to be able to have a big billboard out there as Coco Short. And I was singing, you know, show music, dance music, did a lot of plays. I was number 12 in a chorus line on Broadway.
Wow.
Did the audition, you know, for the background for Lion King in the chorus. And I got great little parts in a small little plays, but God landed me in Las Vegas. And my mom came back there, and I ended up getting into a relationship, which caused me to go to church. And I went to the church, and, you know, I began to hear the man speak, and then I started feeling like this little feeling inside. But my mom always felt like, with all five of her babies, that I was the one that was so unique and different. I would always say, Mom, did you see that over there? Mom, that's getting ready to move. She said, Coco, that didn't move. I said, Mom, it's going to move. And it moved. And so my mom came and told me, and then I went to meet, I went to church, and I ended up receiving Christ all over again. I received him when I was 18, but it was something about receiving it all over again from Las Vegas,
right,
hearing that voice of my mom.
Mm.
And I ended up meeting, you know, a man of God and married a man of God, and I ended up walking into my calling. And then at that time, I realized that there was something special in my life as a baby. And
wow.
At that time, I was 40, you know, and I hadn't
mm-hmm.
had a baby yet. It's not because
oh,
no. I couldn't. It just wasn't the time. You know, when it's God's time, and it's God's time, and nobody has the age or the hour. When it's God,
that's
it's
true.
God. So I was blessed, you know. The doctor said I was pregnant, and I told my husband,
at
40 I said, wow.
years old?
So at 40 years old. 40
Whoa,
years old.
Wow.
But
okay.
But I looked like I was like 21. That was the whole
thing. I know
God.
It. Exactly. I understand.
Won't he do
ditto.
It? He's telling you he's going to do
you
it.
What I said,
I
said ditto. Yeah, well, I said,
so,
won't he do it?
Won't he do it? See, they need to
yes.
say that. Everybody needs to confess that with their heart and soul. I mean, in their
right.
heart and soul, say, won't he do it? But anyway, so the doctor told me either my career or the baby. And
mm-hmm.
I said, Lord, the baby. And at that time, I was in Las Vegas, and I moved to Paramount. And I got a 6-bedroom house, and it was 4:00 in the morning, and I wrote the first album, A New Beginning, and I changed from R&B going into gospel, and
wow.
it was just something that came over me. It was just something that came over me, and I wrote the first song, Lord, I'm ready to do what you want me to do. And
but
then
Coco.
It was 4:00 in the morning when the Holy Spirit touched me and told
wow.
me, God said, I'm calling you. I'm calling you. And I just said, no, Lord, hold on. You know, I got to finish singing and dancing. And he told me, I'm calling you. And that's when I wrote the song, the moment he touched me. And that morning I woke up and I ran downstairs because I had my dad in the home with me. And I said, Dad, the Lord told me to open up a healing women ministry in my house. And I opened up that healing women ministry in the first Tuesday. It was 30 women in my house.
Are
30 women
serious?
On the first Tuesday. And the Holy Ghost began to move, and we were all around my pool table. And we were all crying all on the floor, and the Holy Ghost just moved me. And when they say the Holy Ghost can pour his spirit down up in you, now I'm a living witness what God can do. Not man. But God,
mm-hmm.
what God
mm-hmm.
could do. And I began to minister to the women and minister, and then I called my husband and told him that I was ministering, and he started laughing because he didn't believe that I was going to obey God, you know, because
oh
we all
goodness.
Want to do it our way. But I'm going to tell
right,
you,
because you had
a
very lucrative career. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, God has his time for everything. See, everybody's saying, it should be this way. Well, why is it? No, it's God's time. Whatever God has for you, it's for you. It's going to happen at his. And sometimes God prepares us for things. He prepares us. And I wrote this saying in my church, you go through to get to so you can do. So I tell him, stop crying because you're going through. God knows what he's already predestined to prepare for our life. And then after that, I end up having a children's ministry. For 6 years, right there on La Cienega, and that's when I got licensed by Bobby Horton.
Okay.
And Bobby Horton licensed me. I was humble. I was faithful.
Uh-huh.
I had my
right.
little girl, and at that time, you know, my husband did what he did, what they normally do. They leave. So I said, well, he gone, but I got Jesus.
You
that
mean he
enough.
Walked out on you?
Go, please. Walked right
okay,
out.
Okay, wait a minute. No, but you said you married a man of God, right?
Yes.
That means that he God used him to bring you in?
Yes.
And then he
yes.
left you?
Yep.
Now, if people see you, I'm looking at your picture now because you, I'm going to put you, well, I ain't going to compare you, but you look like with you're very beautiful. And we know men love Halle Berry. You know, we just got to admit. Your man might be in love with Halle Berry. You can just wrap that up in a little paper bag and just walk along with it. But you are a very beautiful woman of God, and then
Thank
you're
you,
very
Lord.
Sound and you're very spiritually led. How do a woman like you accept something like that? Because I know it had to work on your mental state.
Oh, yeah. especially when you said, you know, it's a man of God and it's supposed to, you know, apply the word to your life. And I was looking up to him, looking for God through him. And see, that's what everybody don't realize every day. We the Bible people reading. People are not looking up that Bible. They're looking at us, especially when you tell them, I'm a believer, I'm a pastor, I'm a prophet, I'm a bishop, I'm a apostle, all of those titles, which is not really important. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying people look at that and they're judging you, which God said we're not to judge, but they are. We're the Bible they're reading. And I was looking for him, and I think I was so defeated because I expected so much from him, and I was so broken, and it took me six months to get out of it. To be healed and delivered. And what healed and delivered me was a poem I wrote and a song I wrote. And when I wrote that poem and that song, I was healed and delivered. And I began to just take my baby and go on and just grow the ministry. And then I was in Los Angeles ministry. And then we end up, the man of God ended up losing the building. So I had nowhere to take all them 60-some kids. And God was so wonderful that those kids right there, La Brea and Los Angeles was bringing me their weed cars, the guns. They was bringing me all kinds of stuff being delivered. Just
delivered,
and I was taking a box of guns to the police station there, giving them to them. And I said,
I'm
a pastor. And they couldn't believe a young woman like me was coming in there. But I was telling them, we racking them in. And I was trying to build a healing center for the kids because I went after the kids to get these kids through college. So I was trying to ask God to allow me to take my money to invest in these babies. So as soon as they came out of high school, I had a college for them to go to. A college, a healing center, an outreach for the kids. So I stayed focused on those babies. And then God ended up moving me to Compton, and I got a building right there in Compton behind the barbershop. Now, while they in the front cutting the hair, I was in the back cutting the spirits off.
Oh, my goodness.
It wasn't me.
In a barbershop?
The Holy Ghost using me in the barbershop. In the barbershop.
And so, you know, the barbershop is mainly, well, that's mainly brothers coming in the barbershop. So is that what you were raising, were men?
It was everything in there.
Wow. So you like it on the... Oh, my goodness.
Right on Compton.
Yeah, I know about
Boulevard and Long Beach.
Yes.
See, the same thing that the preacher was saying is there where he is. It's even worse in Compton on Long Beach. All them young girls walking down there with no clothes on. It's just free. So I pass right by them and say, hi. And they go, hi, Pastor Coco. And I say, no problem. Just let me know when you're ready. That's it.
What?
I didn't force them, and then they come through that door. And they walk through that door.
So that's
the key. Through that door. So I was 7 years.
Be friendly.
Faithful. Never missed a Sunday. And never missed a Thursday Bible class. So I opened up a food ministry there. So I've had I have a 501c3 nonprofit organization right there, and I opened up the food ministry for them. So I was trying to build it to get, you know, the facilities for need to allow them to have homeless shelters because all the people came to me, I didn't have a shelter to take them to. All the people came to me, I didn't really have, like, a drug place I could take them to because a lot of people, well, we're busy, we're closed. Well, I'm sorry, you got to go through this and go through that.
Okay.
So I was asking
just
let me take
just wait a minute. I just got to just put you on a pause for a minute because you just running back. There's too much stuff that I didn't know that all this was coming this way today. And I noticed somebody that is listening to us today because they don't think that pastors are doing this kind of work today. You know, pastor has a stigma now because they think all they do is take tithes and offerings and preach a sermon, but they're not for souls. So you have turned the whole concept and Pastor Danny are all around because you guys are literally out there winning souls.
Going
and
after
you're
them
telling
souls.
People
yes.
what we need to do to bring them in.
Yes.
And
yes.
this is really helping me, and I'm quite sure it's helping many of us that are professing to be disciples of Jesus because this is what it's all about.
Yes.
So, I am really being fed by what you're saying because, okay, my first thought, maybe you was going to get on here and talk about your singing career, but you have totally annihilated that subject and you have went into a whole different atmosphere. with this conversation, and I think it's phenomenal for what you're saying. Please continue what God has given you to say to us. Please continue.
And see, that was the catch. My singing career, when I said yes to the Lord that night, April the 24th, at 4 o'clock in the morning, my singing career was moving slower, but the ministry was moving faster. So I gave the Spirit of God. So I gave up and backed up the singing to be able to obey God to heal his people. So I made a great sacrifice for the Holy Ghost when he knows my heart desire was music, because he gave me the gift. But anyway, so God worked in Compton, and then I end up 5 weeks ago, I told the people my 7th anniversary, January the 10th, that was it in Compton. And I kept asking God, how much longer, Lord? Because I was commuting from Palmdale to Compton. 7 years, never missed a Sunday.
Wow.
And never
so that drive is how long? How long is that drive?
An hour and 30 minutes. And listen, so you know if I'm in Compton behind a barbershop, there's no money. There's no money. So what was I doing? See, it's not all about preachers taking money from people and all of that. But people have to understand, preachers have to be taken care of too.
Yes.
So I'd use my money, my singing. You want me to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, so help me God. I use the little singing money to take care of those people down there in Compton. And because of my obedience and my great sacrifice for the Holy Ghost, God said, "Through your well done, my daughter," that he gave me a key to a building up here in Palmdale with six buildings in there. It's a big building with six rooms for everything I asked God for his people, for his children. So now I've been here 5 weeks in Palmdale, and I have the congregation room. Then I have the room for the children to learn how to sing and dance. Then I have
the room
for the voice lessons. Then I have a big old field for them, for the basketball board, for the young boys to come off the street and come play basketball. And then I believe in God. The man just came and gave me the parking lot next to the door. And then tell me what God won't do if you obey him. If you sacrifice one thing, just sacrifice. Just sacrifice for him. Just trust him. That's the number word is trust his word. He said his word will never return until him void. Everything he set out for our life, trust me, he going to position us, he going to move us, he going to shift us, he going to take us up, he going to take us down, he going to move us to the right and left, he going to position us to timely where he want us to be. And when he see that you trust me, because he said faith, it's substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I have faith, and I trust God. I trust him. I trust him.
Yes.
And look what he did for me 5 weeks ago. And I have my own beautiful big office. I have an office across the hall. He sent staff. He sent people just volunteering to help right now.
And that's a problem.
So take care of these troops. This is in Palmdale now. He did it 5 weeks ago. And 7 is the number of completion. Now, guess what? So now, because I obey him, every phone call I'm getting right now is for my album. I wrote the song and Compton, Had Enough, the album. Had Enough.
Oh, my God.
Had Enough. And now I'm getting all the phone calls to release
that's
the single
awesome.
Album. All on the
wonder.
Because of my obedience to God.
So listen, what I want you to do, because we're getting ready to wrap this up, I need you to tell our audience where you are in Palmdale so we can come out there and worship with you and talk about what God is doing here at Punch TV Studio also. Give us the address.
My address is 38450. 6th Street East, Palmdale, California, 93550. My phone number is 661-441-4644. Our service starts at 11:30, and it is over at 1:30. We have Bible class on Thursday from 7 to 8, and on Wednesday, it's Children Have a Voice from 7:30 to 8:30. We open the doors, our hearts, to welcome you, and God is telling us to put the love back in the churches, and that's what we're doing now. It's putting love back in the churches. When you walk in the door, you feel the presence of His love.
Awesome. You're going to have to be one of our pastors on our network when we are preparing our lineup, because you have something that God needs to just expand your boundaries, and this is going to be, I think, a good setup for you. We are on channel 64.9 KILM. It's probably not that in your area, but I'm quite sure we come out there for. Listen, you have been listening to Pastor Coco Short in Palmdale as one of our guest ministers today, and she left you an address and phone number for you to contact us. But we are getting ready to wrap this up, and I thank God for you being one of our pastors today. I thank God for our CEO, Joseph Collins, that recommended you. And just like Jesus said, if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, the door will be open. This is what the pastors for Punch TV Studio is doing. We're asking you, we're seeking you out, and we're going to find you, because you're going to be a partner of Punch TV Studio. I'm your host, Joy Brown. Until next time, tomorrow, the same time, meet us here at Punch TV Studio. Have a good evening.